Well, it is good to be here. Appreciate each of you. Appreciate Pastor Teeter. Appreciate Pastor Merrick. And I appreciate that message that we heard just before this. That was a good message. I really appreciate that. That message will help you. You're going through things. You're dealing with difficulties. Those kind of messages are very, very helpful. So we appreciate that message, Brother O'Neill. Before we get into the text I'm going to deal with, just want to give you just a little encouragement to get started here for anyone that is here that is dealing with any kind of trouble right now. I want you to know very clearly that God cares about you. Amen. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 7, this is not where we're going to preach from this evening, but the Bible says there, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So whatever it is that you're going through, whether you be listening or you're here in person or whatever it is, I want to make it abundantly clear, despite what you might feel, others may say, based upon the Word of God, God does care about you. So whether you get that out of the message or not, I wanted that to be very clear as we get into this. But in this type of a conference, as it's already been mentioned several times by the men that have gotten up here, we are not here with all of the answers to the questions. We're not here with the answers for every trial that you go through, but we are here in the power of a God that does have those things and has the ability to help us through these things that we are going through and that you might be going through even at this very moment. I apologize in advance. I may be kind of clearing my throat a couple of times. I'm also getting over whatever this winter thing is. I'm not 6 weeks, 5 weeks into it, praise the Lord. I am just a week or so into this thing. I believe that the contagious part is past. I probably shouldn't even got sidetracked on that. Who knows what's going to happen with that? Amen. Some of you are not going to listen to a word I have to say. You're going to cover yourself in hand sanitizer and you're going to just think about when you can leave. I see ones doing it at this very moment. Knew it was going to happen. But anytime we face trouble or adversity in life, it can lead to something that I want to talk about this evening, and that is going through those things seems to lead to a battle in our minds. Whatever it is that we go through, the battle we begin to face from almost the moment that we enter into these things is the battle in our minds. The thoughts and the different things that begin to cross our minds, the temptation to become very discouraged, the temptation to become depressed. And when you face various things, I've not faced a whole lot of things in my life personally. We had a couple of miscarriages when it comes to that kind of thing, and those were certainly difficult things to deal with, but I'm in a different stage of life now because we obviously have 4 children now. But when we went through those things, I remember there was a mental battle that was there. There was a battle in the mind to try to keep my thoughts in the right way, because one of the miscarriages that we had was before I had gotten saved. The other one happened after I had gotten saved. But in both of those, it was a battle in the mind trying to keep pure. And so when you go through things like that, when you begin to get discouraged and you lose the peace of mind in your mind, this is not where God wants you to be when you go through those things. So when we get into the text, we're going to be in Philippians chapter number 4, verses 5 through 9. If you go ahead and turn with me and stand with me this evening. Philippians chapter number 4, verses 5 through 9. The Apostle Paul is writing from prison, and it's amazing to me. He's going to write from prison about joy to a church that certainly needed it, believers in Philippi, but he's also going to write about this idea about having peace for a troubled mind. And so we're going to read these verses here in Philippians chapter number 4, verses 5 through 9, and then we will move on from there. Notice in your Bible, Paul says in verse number 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I'm going to pray and we are going to talk about peace for a troubled mind. Let's bow our heads together to our God. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for another day in your house. And Father, we're thankful for an opportunity to once again open your word. And dear God, as we are preparing to go into this text, God, I pray this evening that, God, you would speak to every heart. Father, there's many that are dealing with many things. I certainly don't have the answers. So God, we're calling upon you. We need you. We pray for your help for every person. Every person that's here, every person that listens, God, we know that you can help us. So we pray now that you would do just that during this time, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. What you are dealing with when you are going through a time of trouble will be a battle that happens in your mind. And when you begin that battle, that can easily keep you from seeing and getting the things that God has for you. You can easily get mentally sidetracked with whatever the trouble is and not see all of the wonderful things that God still has in store for you in your life, both now and in the future. Why? Because when we go through things, the mind is something we have to contend with. And so in this text here that we read from in verse number 7, Paul is going to talk about the peace of God. And he says there, it's the peace of God which passes all understanding, and it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this peace that Paul is talking about, this is what is going to help us when we are facing trouble, for example, and we are trying to deal with these type of thing. So as it begins to explain this, I want to point out a few things here in the passage. First, by starting out with talking about peace, God's peace explained here. In this idea of peace here, just to define it for you, the word peace is that of a Christian, is what it's talking about here. This is not a worldly thing. This is a godly thing for the Christian. And it means it is to be at rest in the mind and content with the earthly lot God has dealt us. I believe this is something that every single one of us want. We want to be content with whatever it is that God has for you and me. We want to be content with just that. And so with that, we can learn through this how we can accomplish something like that, to be content with what God has for us, whatever His lot is. And that's a very important part of the idea of peace with a Christian, is this is not being content with getting what we want. Because many of you know at this very moment, you are dealing likely with something that is, you have received or not received something that you wanted. And so you're dealing with that, but certainly I believe as a child of God, you would want to be content with whatever God has for you. So we're going to look at, in this peace explained, a few marks that Paul gives in these three short statements that he gives in verses 5 and 6 that are the marks of someone that has God's peace. First, in verse number 5, he talks about an attitude of moderation in verse number 5. He says, let your moderation be known. The word moderation here means to be reasonable and gentle. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, in verse number 1, it's used to describe Jesus, and the word there is gentleness. The same word in our text, that's moderation, is translated there as gentleness. So if you have this peace then one of the marks that you are going to have is this attitude of being reasonable and being gentle. I think if you are familiar with Jesus and passages about Him and the way that He lived His life, you know that Jesus was very reasonable. I mean, He was the God of all truth. He was the giver of truth. And yet when men would come at Him with their wild ideas, He didn't do what I would want to do in certain cases and just do what the disciples want to do a couple of times. Let's just send down fire and blow them all up and get rid of them. If they don't think like me, they're not right. So I don't know why we need them here. Come on, some of you think the same way. But this was not our Savior. Even though there came a time when certainly judgment would happen, our Savior was very gentle. He was very reasonable. Because being the God of peace, certainly He was going to live that, and He did. The second mark is an awareness of God's presence. In verse number 5, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." And then Paul drops a statement in verse number 5, like when he's going through this list and giving off these statements about what he expects. He says, "Let your moderation be known." And then he says there in verse number 5, "The Lord is at hand." So what is he talking about now? Well, he's talking about, well, while I go through and give you these things, I want you to know that a person of peace will understand. A person that has peace of mind is going to be aware of God's presence. So that's the second mark that he calls out here, is there's going to be an attitude of moderation, a reasonable and gentle person and spirit. In fact, back on that word moderation, it is, you can be just without being harsh. Is what moderation is. So a person that's just without being harsh, a person that is aware of the presence of God. We'll talk more about this in just a moment. But the third mark here is an absence of anxiety in verse number 6. It says this, "Be careful for nothing." Now we could preach right here. In fact, if someone was going to preach at me, they could land in this verse and almost... they could almost help me every single day. Because the idea here is not to be anxious about things. So it's the absence of anxiety. It doesn't mean that trouble won't happen. And doesn't mean you won't think about those things. But it's you won't be anxious about them. It means not to be full of cares. It means this, to trust His plan, speaking of God, for our future. Even though in the very moment that this is happening, you might not understand, it might not be your plan, it might not be my plan, but in order for us to have this mark of peace in our life, we are not going to let that affect how we view Him and looking for what He has for us in the future, an absence of anxiety. So those are three marks you can find that Paul gives here, but then I want you to consider the next thing, and that's the meaning of God's peace. Notice in verse number 7, he gives the meaning of God's peace here. And he says this in verse number 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding." The first thing about the meaning of God's peace here is it is a supernatural peace. This is not a normal thing. This is not something that we, in our own power and ability and intellect, in fact, praise the Lord, it's not of our intellect, because for me, I would never get it. Many of you have a whole lot more intellect than I do. Praise the Lord, this is not of our intellect. This is not of our power. What we're talking about tonight, we're talking about something that God is going to give to us. It's supernatural. When we think about the idea of supernatural, it explains that it passes understanding here. It's beyond our comprehension. And in fact, there's some of you that are sitting here this evening. You may not know this, but I came to this conference a couple of years ago and just beginning to hear about the things that God was doing in lives and what people had been through. I look out and see people that are still faithful to God that have gone through all types of things. And man, my mind is blown. I mean, it's beyond my understanding. It has to be God to help some of you. Because that's not the normal way to deal with problems. Is to come back into the house of God and let a man stand behind a pulpit and continue to yell at you while you're already going through difficulty. and say, by the way, you need to do more than what you're already doing. And you need to get rid of more than you've already gotten rid of. Doing those type of things. And we need those type of things. I'm not saying we don't need those, but in order for you to keep coming to that and keep seeking God through the troubles, it has to be something that God brings, not man. Because when we think about a peace that you can understand, there is a peace that we can all understand. This peace of God is not that. The peace that we can understand is when a person has good health, when a person has wealth, when a person has all of their family and friends close by. When those things are going on in the life of a person, you can see that they can generate some sort of peace in those situations. Because those things don't always bring trouble, at least that other people tell me their family doesn't bring trouble. But those are things that we can understand when someone's got those things. They have wealth, they have health. It seems like from the outside looking in, they have everything going. That's an understandable thing. But when everything falls apart, for you to still have confidence in God, that has to be something supernatural. For you to still be a pleasant person to be around, that has to be of God. Because the way the world goes and the way the system of the world goes is when people are not getting their way, they're not pleasant to be around. Just enter into politics and you find out very quickly. And so when we're thinking about this peace, it's a supernatural peace because there's a certain thing you might understand, but then when people go through tension and trouble and frustration and failure and pressures and all of these things, to have comfort in those times is only something that can come from God. John 14:27, the Bible says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus is letting us know there. He's letting the disciples know that this peace I'm going to leave you with, it's not going to be what the doctor is going to try to tell you about. I appreciate doctors and I appreciate medicine and I'm not against those type of things. But I learned when I got saved, God does a whole lot better at everything than man does. And so going to Him certainly is the best place we could possibly go. Whatever you're going through this evening, if you're in the middle of this trial or if you've gotten through it and you're trying to figure out how to maintain a state of peace as you continue forward, because the reality is you are not going to forget what has happened to you in your past. In order to maintain that type of peace of mind, it has to come from God. Go to Him. He can help. But then notice in verse number 7 as well, not only is this the peace of God which passeth all understanding, but it says this, "This peace shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This peace that Paul is talking about is securing. The word keep means to guard or protect. Now, it's always been necessary to guard or protect your mind, but even more so in our day. Because there is technology, there is an overload of information. Everyone's got an idea on what you should do. There's so many different opinions, so many different resources that you go to, and I encourage you, you ought to take advantage of resources. But at the end of the day, God is going to be the one you need to go to get your security of your mind. When we allow God to give us peace, He will protect our hearts and our minds. But when we try to do it on our own, that's where we are going to face trouble. I heard this said, this is not my quote, this is the quote of someone else, and you'll understand very quickly when I say this, especially those that know, my wife's going to go, yeah, I know this is someone else's quote here. But someone said, most of us are crucified between two thieves. On one side is the regrets of yesterday, and on the other side is the anxiety of tomorrow. And the only way for us to deal with these things is the one that went to the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. He went to a cross to help us deal with a trouble that we had created. But praise the Lord, He took care of that. He secured our future. If we call upon Him to be saved, His blood made a way for that to be possible. But not only that, after we become Christians, we need help from God not to keep us saved, but to keep us walking in His ways. And to keep us thinking the way that He wants us to think. Especially as we go through trials of life. But then there's this next thing. We talk about this peace that is explained here, and he talks about these marks, and then he deals with the meaning of this peace here. So as you think about that, then you might begin to think, as I begin to think, when someone's going through a message, all right, you're dealing with the marks, you're talking about what this means and what it looks like here in the text. So the question is, how can we experience this? Because it's good to know about what God expects and to be explained the Word of God, but you want to experience this. I mean, you want to have peace of mind. Amen? When you go through troubles, you want to be able to trust in God. So how can you do that? Well, we've already dealt with this briefly, but the peace that we are going to need and get, it's going to come from God. So in order for you to experience this, don't look in yourself. Look to God. In Romans chapter number 15, verse number 33, the Bible says, "The God of peace be with you." Paul is encouraging the Romans there, if you want peace, you got to have the God of peace. In Romans 16, 20, the Bible says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Praise the Lord for that. I'm looking forward to when the Lord gets him out of here. Amen. I'm tired of fighting him. But the one that's going to overcome Satan one day is our God. And what a glorious day that's going to be. By the way, child of God, whatever you're going through, you might still have a little bit of trouble in your future, but there will come a time when these things will stop. And God will set us at peace forever. And we won't have to deal with this anymore. So just hang on. Just think about these things. Just try to do your best effort to trust in God and His power to put these things to practice in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 33, the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." If you are confused right now about what is going on in your life, that is not God leading you there. That is your flesh. That's the spiritual wickedness that's in the world. That's all of these things that are in opposition to God, because God is not looking for you to become confused. Even though He might allow things to go on in our lives, He does not allow them so that we will be confused. In fact, most of these things I've learned, especially in my own life, most of the thing God allows me to go into in life is so that I'll get where I belong, is that's on my face, humbling myself before a holy God. Because sometimes I try to get ahead of God on certain things. And so I've been able to see many times. I can't say that God wrote me a letter in the mail and I read it outside of the Word of God. Amen. I get in trouble by somebody for saying something like that. But I can't say there's been a direct letter that says, "Oh, by the way, Matt, this happened so that you would get on your face." But I certainly can see some principles in the Word of God, and I can see some things that have gone on in my life, and I can see the effects, and I can see what God wanted to do. He wanted to show me that I'm not going to bring peace, but He certainly can. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 23, the Bible says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." God's not looking just to give you a little bit. He wants to give you complete peace of mind. Just like when He saves you, He doesn't want to give you just a part of salvation. Praise the Lord for that, because we would lose it if He just gave us a part. He wants us to get the whole thing. And when you get saved, you get the whole thing. But it comes from God. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means." When we think of peace, our God is the God of peace. The Lord of peace. He's the author of peace. If you and I want real peace, we've got to get it from God. I know it sounds simple. I know you're thinking this, I don't understand, is it really that simple? It is that simple. The problem is not God. The problem is us. Because we get this battle in the mind. As soon as these troubles begin, all of a sudden we begin to think about these things. And if you're like me, we begin to think about it and overthink it and overthink it and overthink it. But what God wants us to do is when you go through it, just trust Him. He is at work. His plan is in action. Although we may not see it, we're in the day of the microwave society and even in church where we want things to happen just right now. And I know the feeling because even as a preacher, sometimes I want it to happen right now. But sometimes God's got to take us through the wilderness before He can get us to the place that He wants us to dwell. But this peace not only comes from God, we see it comes through Christ in verse number 7. So just speaking on this briefly, I won't spend much time here, but if you're going through trouble, if you're going through infertility, or if you've lost a child, or there's some other loss in your life you're dealing with, the only possible way that you're going to be able to make it through this is if you give your life to Christ. Amen. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have to begin there. Because if you don't begin there, you're going to try to live the Christian life without being a Christian. And I have seen this happen in my short life. It is miserable for people. It is absolutely miserable. But when you're a child of God, I'm not saying somebody already mentioned Joel Osteen. We might as well mention him again. Amen. I'm not saying it's all going to be smooth and you're going to just jump for joy every time something happens. Amen. But the only way you're going to be able to endure these things, take the fiery darts of the devil, is be a child of God and have the armor of God. But without being a child of God, you have none of that. So this peace comes through Christ. But then I want you to notice a few things as we prepare to close. This peace comes by three things that are very, very important we learn in our verses here. In verse number 6, we read there about prayer. It says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. If you're going to have peace when you're going through difficult moments, you are going to have to get on your knees and pray to God. Because there's absolutely no one outside of Him that truly understands what you feel like. I mean, I know you've probably heard people, and for people that are going through troubles, I have learned that this is one of the most frustrating things for someone to say is when they come to you and they're trying to be gracious, and I understand all of that, but they say, I know what you're going through. And it just feels on the inside like you just want to tell them, no, you don't. You don't have a clue. You really don't understand, but there is a God who knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly what you're going through, and He wants you to pray to Him. In fact, the word prayer means adoration. And the word supplication here, it means to plea. If you want the peace of God, you get down on your knees and plead with God and beg Him to give you some peace of mind. And I assure you this, based upon the Word of God, God will hear your prayer. He will help you accomplish what He says He wants to accomplish in your life. And then there's this thanksgiving, and this thanksgiving is appreciation for what God has given you, even what He has not given you. I learned that's a big one for me. I can thank God for the things that He's given me, but sometimes I don't think about the things that He has not given me and how maybe those things are good that I didn't get those things. When you pray to God, you need to be in adoration to Him. You need to be pleading with Him to help you. You need to have thanksgiving. And then He says, let your requests be made known. Here's the idea here. Our God is not some untouchable God. He is a very personal God. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus in Hebrews, when it's talking about Him being the high priest, the Bible says that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know why? Because He took on flesh just like ours. The only difference is He was without sin. But He still faced temptation. He still faced loss and different things like that. In fact, even our Savior, the sinless Son of God, He wept when He saw Lazarus. He went through emotional state of things. And so when you're praying, know this, you can be completely open and honest with God. He does care about what you feel. He does care about what you're going through. But then there's this next thing. Not only should you be praying, but you should also be thinking right. Notice in verse number 8 there, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. And by the way, any of you that have been under preaching, you know when the preacher says, finally. Okay. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of our good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says this, think on these things. You know what he's saying? When you go through some difficult moments, don't always think about the difficult moment. There's a lot of other things that God has given us to think about. In fact, just to run through these, the things that are true, this is truthful things. I already mentioned that God cares about you so you can be truthful with God. And He does care about you, by the way, because the Word of God said it in 1 Peter 5:7. I quoted it earlier. So if you are feeling like God doesn't care about you, then think on the Word of God. Because He does care about you. This is just what your flesh feels in the moment. You can get there. Things that are honest, things that are just, the right things in our minds. When we begin to think about things as we go through trials, we think about a lot of things. But a lot of the things that we think about are not always things that are right. They're not always things that we should be thinking about in the moment. In fact, the word pure there means to be pure from carnality and fault. I've learned this, especially dealing with children and offspring and different things like this. One of the first things that begins to happen, or at least at some point this comes in, is the thought of who's at fault here. Is it my fault? Is it my spouse's fault? You begin to think that way, and the next thing you know, you become consumed with that. What did I do? What did I do? Why? Why have I done that? It's all my fault. But the reality is that's purely fleshly. That's purely carnal, and God doesn't want you to think about that. He wants you to think about how we don't know why God has done that. And so we shouldn't think about who's at fault because we don't have that revealed. There are a lot of things that happen that are of no one's fault. But then there's these things that are lovely. If you want to have peace, then as you're going through the trial, it doesn't mean you'll never think about it again. But think about some things that are friendly and agreeable. The word lovely here is, it comes from the Greek word phileo. This is a friendly type of love. As friends, you find things to agree on. Amen? That's how you maintain a friendship. And even when you don't agree, you try to find ways to end the debates because you want to maintain the friendship. And so when you're going through trouble, think about things that are friendly and things that are agreeable. And then things of good report, those are gracious things. Virtuous things, these are morally excellent things. And then praise is there as well. Praise literally means find something that is not what you are going through that is causing hurt and causing your mind to go in all different directions that's not of God. Find something that you can think about that you can praise God for. Because if you're a child of God here this evening, if you're a child of God and you're listening to this, you can always praise God for saving your soul. I hope I never get over the fact that God reached all the way down in the pits of sin. And I've never shared my testimony with many of you, but I'm telling you, I got to the bottom and I tried to dig further down. And the fact that God would save me, I always have that to be thankful for. I can always praise Him for that and let Him know how good He is to save me in the condition that I was in. But then in verse number 9, this is how it ends here. It says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Notice he says this, a two-letter word, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. It is not enough to pray about things, although that is good. It's not even enough to think about the right kind of things, even though that's what we're talking about with this peace. But in verse number 9, Paul places the significance that you can learn everything you need to know. You can read your Bible. You can pray to a God in heaven. But if you don't put any effort into this, you will not have any peace. There has to be some type of effort put in here. The order here is to pray, think, and do these things. And by the way, this is every single day. You can't do this one day and hope to have the peace of God every day of the rest of your life, because tomorrow, when you crucify your flesh today, it's going to rise up again. Every day when I wake up and look in the mirror, I think, yeah, you want to go at it again, don't you? And it sure does. It's ready to go. And I have to fight it off again. And I have to think right. I got to pray right. And I've got to put effort into allowing God to bring peace into my life. John chapter number 13, verse number 17, the Bible says this: if you know these things, happy are ye. But it doesn't stop there. If you do them. See, you can know the things of God, but if you don't put them to practice, then if you are happy, if you are joyful, then that's because you are enjoying the sin and pleasure of life. But if you are doing the things of God, the way you are going to enjoy them is by doing the things of God, not just thinking about them and praying about them. In fact, outward obedience and inward peace are related. Isaiah 32, verse number 17, the Bible says this: and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Isaiah 48, verse number 18, the Bible says this: oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. See, you can have a desire to want to have the peace of God and get through whatever you are going through, but if you don't put any effort in, God is not the one that is limiting this, it's us. Because we know that God wants us to have peace. We know the Bible says when it comes to salvation, God's not willing that any should perish. So what's holding it up? It's not God. We can't blame it on Him. We can't be like some of those out there in the crowds that are saying, well, God's chosen this and chosen that. No, no, God's chosen that everyone would be saved. God has chosen that everyone would have peace. He's given us the power to have these things. So how can we have these things? We just have to do the things that He says. And when you think about that, that's a tall task, isn't it? That's an everyday task. But if you want the peace of God, and I believe every single person that is here on a Friday night, you want the peace of God. Every person that's listening, whatever it is you're dealing with, I certainly believe you want the peace of God. Well, you follow God and His Word, no matter what your lot is, and you will find peace. God cares and values each one of us that are here. He wants you and me to experience His peace. Not just today, not yesterday, but every single day of our life. The key to all of this is not trying to understand everything that God does, and just trusting Him by faith and doing what He says. When we go through difficult moments, we are not going to understand everything about these moments. There has been so many times as a Christian, I knew better than to try to think about the things that God was doing and figure it out. And as soon as I began down that road, next thing you know, I'm full of anxiety. I'm full of worry. I'm full of cares. But when I just trust God, I have learned He gives me a peace that I don't understand, and it goes beyond that and helps me to be content with the lot that He has given me. You want peace of God? Cherish this book. Cherish this book and do exactly what God tells you to do right here in His Word. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the day and the time You've given to us. Dear God, we're thankful for a conference like this where we can have Your Word opened up and we can speak not from man's philosophies, because God, we don't have the answers. But God, we find the answers to what we need right here in Your Word. Father, I pray for every person that is here, every person that's listening, and even every person that will listen in the future. God, as they're going through troubles, as their mind begins to trouble them in the moment, Father, help them to look to You, to pray, to think about the right things, and to do exactly what You tell them so that they can have the peace of God. Help us all, God, no matter what we're dealing with, we need this. And in order to get this, we need Your help. We pray that You'd help us once more tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you stand to your feet with every head bowed and every eyes closed, the preacher is going to come.